We'll be singing that in a few minutes, but just now I want to tell you that a number of years ago, I worked for a delivery company making deliveries in the greater metropolitan Kansas City area. I was supposed to deliver things from one place to another, ordinarily from one business to another. Sometimes it was something as small as a letter. Sometimes it was a large box. Sometimes it was many items, many boxes or many pieces of paper. But one thing was in common on every delivery. I was instructed in making these deliveries, when I made the delivery, to get the person I was delivering the item or items to sign a piece of paper that we had. And all the signatures went on the same piece of paper. Get that signature. In fact, this is so important, my boss said. Don't think of your job as making deliveries. Think of it as collecting signatures. And I've often thought, when we consider the subject of personal evangelism and the responsibility that each of us has to share the gospel of Christ, that maybe this would be an appropriate response to make among ourselves, especially if we feel overwhelmed by the magnitude of this responsibility. To not think of this as converting people, just think of your job as sowing seeds. Think of your job as watering seeds, because that's really all that's expected of us. My purpose in talking about personal evangelism is not to clobber you with scriptures or try to make you feel guilty about what you're not doing. Indeed, I know personally that a number of you are doing a great deal in this area already. The purpose of this lesson is to try to encourage us to do even more in this than we are, and also to help us understand maybe more about how to go about doing this. I believe that our hearts already burn within us on the subject of personal evangelism. I don't think we need to convince each other that this needs to be done, but maybe we need to help, not with an oratorical tirade, but in a conversational way, to help try to give some tools that might assist in beginning conversations, etc. Sometimes when it comes to talking with people about the gospel, we become a little clumsy, maybe a little awkward. We feel like we don't know how to approach people. And then when we have an awkward attempt or two, we tend to withdraw. And when we withdraw, this not only hurts the world, but it also hurts us. It hurts the world because they don't get the message from us, but it also hurts us because when you and I don't see some evidence of the redemptive power of the gospel once in a while, it can begin to seem a little less real to us. We still know intellectually that it's the power of God into salvation, but if we don't see it being the power of God in somebody's life unto salvation once in a while, then it can begin to seem a little less real to us. So we need to look at the Bible and see what we can come to terms with regard to this responsibility that we have. Fortunately, the Word of God does not leave us ignorant concerning how we ought to approach people. Now, as I was trying to think about this, I thought, what would be the simplest form of evangelism? There are some very complicated forms. If you have family members, it can be really complicated to try to talk with them over time. It can interfere sometimes with your relationship with them, and other family members can be interfered with by your talking with somebody in your family. If you have friends that you're seeing on a periodic or even a regular basis, it can be a very difficult thing to evangelize there. So I think the simplest possible encounter for evangelism is a one-time encounter where you've never seen the person before and you possibly will never see the person again. A lot of you spend time on airplanes, just as an example, and you're sitting there in a kind of a confined, really it's an enforced captivity for 2 or 3 hours while you're on that plane. They've got an assigned seat, and if it's crowded, they're not going to move anyplace else. So you're either right beside them or they're a couple seats away from you. And you know how much time you got because you know when the plane lands. So you know your time limit, and you know you'll probably never see this person again. What are you going to say or do during that? That I think that's the essence of it. That's the simplest possible form of evangelism. What are we going to do or say in that kind of a situation? I know in many of your lives, you're constantly encountering people Jerry talks to a new guy every 15 minutes. Hopefully they're not all new people. I know he has some repeat customers, but he talks to a new guy every 15 minutes. And he does this, by the way, with a great deal of finesse. I've sat in his shop and listened to how he can shift gears from one man to the next. And I know that many of you in your jobs and in your day-to-day normal activities, you're encountering people all the time, either people you know or people that you don't. So I think in the fourth chapter of the book of John, we have a remarkable illustration that Jesus gives us of a one-time encounter with somebody that he's not necessarily ever going to see again. And in the way that he operates here, he gives us a great deal to think about with regard to the preaching of the gospel, the delivery of the message, the planting of the seed. In 1 Peter 2:21, Peter, talking about the Lord, said that he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. Now, the specific subject there was the subject of suffering, right? In 1 Peter chapter 2, Jesus left us an example of suffering that we should follow in his steps. But I think that carries over to everything in life. Jesus Christ is our living pattern. If we want to know how to talk to people, we need to look to Jesus. If we need to know how to act, we need to look to Jesus. When I was in the first grade and needed to learn to write my name, my teacher, on I think the very first day of school, gave me a little piece of cardboard. And on that piece of cardboard, she had written my name. And it looked something like this. Actually, she had lettered my name there. We weren't cursive yet, but just writing it in lettered form. And when she would then say, get out a piece of paper and put your name in the upper right-hand corner, the thing I was supposed to do was place the corner of my paper below her cardboard like this, and copy what she had placed there. Copy down. This is exactly the way I learned to write my name. When I would copy the letters that she had placed, pretty soon I could do it even without looking at the piece of cardboard she'd given me because I knew what was on that. I had it memorized. It had just become second nature. It was a part of me. And so I could write this without even looking at this. And as we look at the example of the Lord that he's given us in the New Testament, we can see and imbibe what he is and what he did. And pretty soon, without even having to look back at this, we just automatically are able to write this as a part of our lives. I think the fourth chapter of the book of John gives us a way to go with encountering people and talking with them. It's a one-time encounter. And so that's what I'd like to talk with you about this morning. And actually, I think I'll talk with you about it tonight a while as well. And maybe even throw it open for discussion tonight after we finish talking about it. But I'd like to look at the fourth chapter of the book of John, the beginning portion here, where Jesus shows us how to go about this. I want to read the first 6.5 verses as we begin. John 4:1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. The first thing that our Lord is showing us is that if we are going to engage in personal evangelism, we need to contact other people socially. If you want to catch fish, you got to go where the fish are. Simple Simon fished in a pail in his mama's backyard with predictable results. We are intentionally exampled here to meet people on their own ground. After all, the weapon given to us for this fighting is called the sword of the Spirit. The sword is used for close infighting. We're not given a long-range rifle, and we can't stand here and hit them out there somewhere. The sword means that we've got to be close up to these people. We can't sit here and hit them there. And so we have to do what the Bible says and what Jesus did. Eat with publicans and sinners. Of course, considering ourselves, lest we also be tempted, but we need to mix it up with these people. We don't need to be isolated in order to be separated. In fact, in the prayer that Jesus gave, which is really what I would like to call the Lord's Prayer, rather than the sample prayer he gave his disciples, in the 17th chapter of the book of John, this is the real Lord's Prayer, and he says, speaking of his followers, I don't pray that you take them out of the world. because the world needs their effect. I don't pray that you take them out of the world. And in 1 Corinthians 5, the Apostle Paul makes the same point. He gives a catalog of bad things that people do. And he says, if any man who's called a brother does these things, don't keep company with him. But I'm not telling you this about the world. If you don't keep company with the people in the world who do these things, you must needs go out of the world, he said. So you can't go out of the world. You're placed here in the world, and you need to have some sort of a relationship with the people who are around you in the world. The average non-Christian, perhaps, will come to your home quicker than they'll come to the meeting house. If that's true, then maybe they need to go to your home. As a matter of fact, if we were to go through the book of Acts, we would see about 15 places where the gospel was preached in the book of Acts. And one of those was not a meeting house that was owned by the church. That doesn't mean a meeting house owned by the church is a bad thing. It means that this may not even be the primary place, though, for the proclamation of the gospel. This is a place for the teaching of the Bible, for sure. But the proclamation of the gospel goes on out in the world. We could run through those 15 places in Acts and see that this was the gospel was preached in the places where people came across people, whether it was in somebody's chariot, like with the eunuch, or whether it was in a private home, like with Cornelius. The preaching of the gospel was done in the synagogues, it was done in the streets, it was done in the Jewish temple, and on and on and on. But not in a meeting house owned by the church. And so it's important to understand that we need to contact other people socially. I think for most of you this happens naturally almost every day of your life. So this part of it perhaps is no problem for most of us. The second thing is found a little further along. Verse 7 again. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy food. The second thing the Lord is pointing out here is that as we contact these people, we need to establish a common interest. Establish a common interest. Jesus does not skipped the preliminaries. He doesn't come up to this woman and say, hey, do you know who I am? Now, if I'd been the Son of God in that situation, I might have been tempted to do that. After all, we don't want to waste time. But he doesn't do that. He begins by referring to something in which she is obviously interested. And he's willing to listen to her response. One time I had recommended to me the book by Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People, which I don't think I ever finished, and I don't necessarily recommend it to you. It's really a kind of a manual on how to glad hand and backslap people for your own interest. But one thing he pointed out in there I thought was quite true, and that is that the voice anybody likes to hear most is their own. Jesus is putting this woman in a position where she's going to talk, and he's going to be able to listen to her. We need to make some decisions as we go into this. Do you want these people as scalps on your belt? Do you want them merely as another notch on your totem pole? Or do you really want them as Christians for their own benefit? One time a man asked me when I was studying with him, if I don't accept your religion, will you still be my friend? That's a tough question sometimes, because we don't want to waste time. And he wanted to know if I was still going to hang with him if he never became a child of God. That's something we need to consider. Jesus is willing to spend time with this woman. He's willing to listen to her. And so he starts out by talking about something that she's obviously interested in. This is not manipulative. Remember, when we're fishing for fish, it is for our benefit. But when we're fishing for men, it's for their benefit. And that's the big difference here. And unfortunately, I'm going to need to call this off for the time being. We'll have just a little break, and then we'll come back and get the rest of the points here and then throw it open for your questions. But please come back tonight, and we'll talk about some more points in the fourth chapter of the book of John, and then we'll see through your questions how we can apply this to our own lives and maybe help each other, because that's one great purpose of getting together in the family of God. This is the mess hall where the saints eat together. This is the launching pad where we get put into motion. This is God's filling station where we come in and get filled up so that we can go out into the world and have plenty of gas to do the job through the week. We're going to conclude this morning with the gospel invitation. This hasn't been a lesson about the gospel for you personally if you're outside of Christ. But I hope you can see that we are interested in you and that we have a purpose in talking to you about the gospel. We're interested in your you're coming to the Lord being a part of His family. If somebody is subject to the gospel today and is in a position now to believe and repent, confess, be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, or if you have anything to bring before the group here, please come up to one of the front seats and sit down, and we'll try to help you as we stand together and sing number 80, There Is Room in the Kingdom.